MGTOW men, welcome back. So I'm going through my notes section on my phone, and I took out an important topic that I think goes hand in hand with common MGTOW shaming lines, but it's also something that I reflect upon when I ask you guys for my MGTOW testimonies. And what people will say or assume is that we go MGTOW because we're disappointed. I'm not MGTOW because I'm disappointed. Why am I MGTOW? Personally, I've always felt that I'm MGTOW because it's something that makes sense in my life. A man that is in the stage of being ready to improve his life, to take the next step forward, to make the most out of his life, wants to be an owner of something, his life. It's someone that is interested in making things make sense, and he's interested in things that make sense. So if you notice, we live in a world that values chaos. We live in a world that actually elevates chaos above order, and chaos is worshipped. And if you notice that, because we live in that world right now, it doesn't want to focus on things that make sense. So that's another reason that MGTOW gets shamed, I think. And the reason that we don't want to focus on things that don't make sense is because you don't care about things that make sense when, you know, you don't want things to improve. Or better yet, you don't know what you've valued in the present. You don't know what you've ever valued. And therefore, the building that you're building is not going to be constructed soundly. It's going to be haphazard. It's going to have a weird foundation. Nothing's going to work. And in our lives, we live a life that is haphazard, and we choose things that don't keep it from getting to that point because we don't value it being better. It's because we've been raised in a culture of wanting. We've been raised in a culture of chaos. And we've been raised in a culture of hedonism. We've been raised in a culture of this has never been enough. We've been raised in a culture of backwardness. And so when something makes sense, and when something's digestible, and then when something's applicable, and that you can apply this to something, it's going to be shot down because it exposes the things that people have ignored for so long that they know they actually have to put work in to do, but they don't want to face that light. Thus, I would posit that the MGTOW mind that leads to fruit, the man that actually makes something of his life as a MGTOW and internalizes MGTOW, okay, was in a place of in his mind. It's not just his life, but his mind to use what he learns from MGTOW and use it to improve. In his mind, he was groomed for it. He was ready to improve. And so when he came across MGTOW, he soaked it up like a sponge. In the initial days for me of finding MGTOW, it created an absolutely rapacious, almost insatiable appetite in me for MGTOW. And the reason for that is because the field had been plowed in my life. The season of sowing was upon me. And I had been looking for explanations about my past for a long time, and I was hoping that someone else was thinking what I was thinking outside of my own brain, as another testimony verifies one's thoughts. So today, I just want to speak on things that are my own internal philosophies and thinkings about MGTOW, and sometimes maybe it'll work for you and you can relate to it. So I don't think that there is really a greater equity in life than having another person verify that which you've thought to be true but had nobody else to corroborate it with. Well, I think that there are greater things being okay with that in your own mind, not needing the validation, but it does add some satisfaction. And that's why I'm MGTOW. It's not because I've been disappointed. It's not because my soul is crushed. It's not because I'm a neckbearded Lucky Charms addict that can't approach a human soul without blinding them with my luminous whiteness because I haven't been outside of my mom's basement and seen the sun for a decade. I am MGTOW because I absolutely hunger for answers. And I'm MGTOW because it's a life that creates the life that I want. But most importantly, it generates the external reality that reflects the goals that I have for my own internal reality. What is the goal then? What is our goal? What is the goal of MGTOW? And I came upon a pretty good comment, very encouraging one the other day, and it touched on the successes afforded by MGTOW. And here's what he had to say. I've been MGTOW for 73 years, never married, no children, no girlfriend. Best decision that I ever made in my life. My time, money, and my life is completely mine to do what with it in whatever way pleases me. Being completely alone in life is one of the greatest pleasures I enjoy in life. Complete and total freedom, peace and quiet, time to think, time to plan, time to simply enjoy being alive. And does that sound malicious or misogynistic to you? No. And instead of the first sentence that talks about being MGTOW and never marrying, instead, let's just, for devil's advocate, insert something completely random, but not really objectionable anyway. I've been a fifth grade math teacher or sixth grade math teacher for 73 years. I've run 3 miles every day for 73 years. I don't care what you put there, but people will read the outcome and want to know then that which led to the outcome. But when the acronym MGTOW is used, it gets a threatening and dangerous connotation, or it gets lumped into being something that's depressing, something that's discouraging, something that's nihilistic. And I think there's a difference between nihilism and positive nihilism, or leverageable nihilism, if you will. And it's not the thought that it brings happiness and that it is the eject button from a fighter plane that's been shot down at daily and that's burning. We are leaving that plane behind. We're hitting that eject button when we need to. A plane that was headed for a watery grave. And instead, we're launching ourselves out of the burning plane while we may be alone, paradropping down to water or land, but we're out of the burning plane and that we can see a new reality in front of us. And so ownership, I think ownership is a very important thing in this discussion. And we've been told that we need to be owned by something else. And you don't ever believe that you can have ownership of other things. And that was one of the first realities that hit me upon coming upon MGTOW. And what I've learned upon reflecting about MGTOW as a philosophy for me is that it teaches us to be owners of that which we can be owners of, and leaves the things that society tells us to own, despite the fact that all the things that society tells us to own, we can't actually ever own. Okay, the only thing that society and the world tells us to own are things that we can't own. But the things that we can own, nobody tells us that we can own. Okay, owning something is good because it creates things. And if ownership is expressed properly, these things can be peace, clarity, consistency, efficiency, and most importantly, arguably, life agility. And if you own something, you don't have to continue to prove yourself to something external that can demand more of you each day, change its mind, and then discard you. It's like being an employee or being the owner. All right. If you're an employee, you have to prove yourself to the owner, or else that owner will discard you. If you're the owner, you've already proven to yourself, because you're the one that makes the final decision. And so you don't have to worry about doing that, and you can rest. And we live in a renting state of mind today. We live in a renting mentality. We think that we own things, but we're actually renting them. And we don't know that the things that we can own, we never think that they are on the market. We don't think that they're accessible. We think that when we get married, that's a done deal and we own it. We don't. And I'm never going to I'm never going to need another person in my life once I get married. They complete me. They fill that void that I've been missing. Well, that person is a human. And no matter what you can do, you can't know what the next step is going to be in life, because they're directing that step and in effect making that step for you. And we get cars we can't pay for to impress people that aren't even in our lives. And then we force ourselves to work jobs for people that we expect to enter our lives and be impressed by the car that we bought for them, yet they're not even there. And as a result, we can never slow down the two different treadmills that always are turning in life. It's the hedonic treadmill, and it's the cognitive treadmill. And our minds are always going, not in a good way though. Our minds are always going because we haven't afforded ourselves time to do what our commenter said in the post. We haven't given ourselves the equity of time to think, like he said, because we are raised in a society that doesn't treat time as equity like it treats a new McMansion $1.5 million home as equity. It's not seen as the same thing. It's not connected. And that creates anxiety. And what does anxiety do? It tells us that we need to do something as fast as possible to desecrate the impending pain that anxiety is warning us about. And what fixes that? A hedonistic mind. And what does a hedonistic mind do? It spends. A hedonistic mind never settles. A hedonistic mind never has peace. And the culture of wanting tells us that we want that, but we don't. And I don't want to be a part of that. I don't think you guys do either. And that was part of my MGTOW realization. And I think that many of us were groomed to realize that long before, though. And upon coming to MGTOW and some of the realizations, the reason that I wouldn't even say that I'm disappointed is that, and I never have felt that, is that I think that many of us were MGTOW in a sense before we came across it. I've gotten that email many times. We realized that this is the reality. We just didn't have a lexicon to explain the reality. We've always had that reality. And for many of us MGTOW men, our disappointment was actually created before it. Sure that there is a red pill rage post-MGTOW for some, but I would even say that I experienced my red pill rage far sooner than that, far earlier, like far earlier in life. I first heard of MGTOW at 22, but I would bounce all the way back to age 13. I went through this phase of red pill malaise, or the red pill haze that I always call it. I think Stardust calls it the malaise. And I think that we all have different thresholds of emotions, and some of us actually go through a visceral and violent period of rage. And if you linger there for too long, though, I don't believe that you can really go your own way because you're hanging on to things that are outside of your control. And when I was 13, I was kind of overcome with this feeling of annoyance and the pettiness of many things that were pursued in the world. I began to see the connection between materialism and the world's pursuits and some of my issues with it and just the physical wanting in so many men that were already white knighting at that time. And I wanted to do my own thing, and I felt that the pursuits and the passions behind many of the pursuits that people were chasing, even in junior high, I felt that they were idiotic. And I began to see the white knights. I was sickened by the dating culture. I felt that it was anti-male to even pander around and try to date at that time, and hence I never did. And what happened during that time is I went through a really bad coinciding depression as a 13-year-old. And in seventh grade, as a result of the depression, I just got really dark in my thinking. I lost a ton of weight. I was in outpatient rehab for a month as a result of it, and I rebounded and never been there again. But it only really started to heal for me until I hit around 14 or 15, and it slowly made sense. I continued to pursue my passions. While I did trip up, I left my annoyance in the petty versions of the gynocracy that we see, and I began to seek out things that explained how I was feeling. What I see in the times that we slip up is that we don't often have a way to manifest or to materialize that which we've thought. And if that is the case, sometimes you don't believe all that you think. And MGTOW gives you a further reason to believe that which you think. And I guess I was in this limbo stage for 9 years between having these realizations, this red pill malaise, and finding MGTOW. And because of that, MGTOW is not even a bitter pill. MGTOW has been sweet. It's a sweet song that I'm listening to on the porch in the summer with a nice cold glass of iced tea while I'm listening to James Taylor's Carolina in my mind. And MGTOW is that. MGTOW is the life according to how you want to live. But I also think that it's important to remember that because it's the life that you want to live, it can be a life that is used when appropriate to help someone else out to live that life that they want to live when they realize that they can actually opt out to become an owner of the life that they always thought they had to rent. And that's MGTOW. And frankly, it's serene. That's the word I'd use to describe it. I'm not disappointed. Hoodies up, men. Hoodies out.